بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 21st of February in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 11th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent company Sayyidina Khalid ibn Zayd Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu and I've just begun the subsection in which we're now taking a glimpse into his education as given by our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the one narration I mentioned was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told his beloved companion when you stand up to pray then pray a farewell prayer This is an authentic hadith in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 5-412. So on the same theme, in Tabarani, Hafiz Dimyati in his Al-Majjar Al-Rabi fi Thawab Al-Amal Al-Salih, number 330, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu, he relates, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to live with me, I noticed him constant in offering 4 rakats before Zuhr. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said to me by way of clarification, when the sun passes its meridian, the doors of the heavens are opened and they are not closed until the zuhr salah is offered. I therefore love that a good deed be raised for me at that auspicious time, i.e. and what better than the deed of salah. So let's look at this. So Abu Ayyub, again, like I've said, the tragedy, they've destroyed this dwelling, this blessed dwelling. So yet another sunnah, which was done in that blessed dwelling, was that Abu Ayyub noticed, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constant, he never missed it, in offering 4 rakats before Zuhr. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about that auspicious time, He goes, the doors of heavens are opened at that time until the Zuhr Salat. And I love that a good deed be raised for me at that time. Meaning, I'm offering Salah. In another report, in Abu Dawood 2-23, in the chapter on 4 rakats before Zuhr, Ibn Majah 1-365, in the chapter on establishing the prayer, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger also said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The doors of the heavens are open for 4 rakats, in which there is no salam that are offered before Zuhr. The doors of the heavens are open for 4 rakats, in which there is no salam that are offered before Zuhr. So in this report in the Sunans, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he broke away from his usual pattern. His usual pattern sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to offer any optional prayer in 2s. But here he explicitly said that these 4 rakats, there should be no salam between them. Meaning you offer it with just the taslim at the end of the 4 rakats. And the Hanafis, obviously, they do this. But it's also encouraged for other schools to follow this sunnah, which the Prophet prescribed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus this narration encourages that these 4 rakats prior to Zuhr should be offered continuously, not in 2 sets of 2 rakats. In another report, in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih, Targhim number 381. Somebody asked our beloved mother, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, Ayyu salatin Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana ahabba ilayhi, And yuwazib alayha. Which salat was it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to stick to regularly? She responded, radiyallahu anha, Kana yusalli arba'an qabla al-zuhri yutilu fihinna al-qiyam wa yuhsinu fihinna al-ruku wa sujood. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to observe the 4 rakats before the Zuhr, prolonging its standing and perfecting in it the bowing and prostration. So let's look at this. So this is an authentic report in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. So as a Sahaba or a Tabi'in asked our mother, which Sahat did the Prophet love to stick to regularly. So not what did he do regularly, but what did he love, have a special affection for, which he did regularly. Which Salat was it? And what did our mother say, radiyallahu anha? He used to observe 4 rakats before the Zuhr. قَانَ يُصَلِّي أَرْبَعًا قَبْلَ الزُّحْرِ. But then she explained how he offered it. That Allah alayhi sallam, يُتِيلُ فِيهِنَّ الْقِيَامِ, prolonging the standing, وَيُحْسِنُ, and perfecting it, فِيهِنَّ الرُّقْعَ وَالسُّجُودِ, perfecting in it the bowing and prostration. Meaning he offered long standing in those 4 rakats. He prolonged that prayer. And his ruku and sujood were also perfect. In another report, in Tirmidhi 2-343, Ahmad in his Musnad 3-411, Targheeb number 382, Hafiz Dimyati Rahmatullah Ali in his Al-Majjar Al-Rabi fi Thawab Al-Amal Al-Salih number 326, Abdullah ibn Sa'ib radiyallahu anhu, he relates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to offer 4 rakats after the declination of the sun past the meridian before the Zuhr. He would encourage us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إنها ساعة تفتح فيها أبواب السماء فأحب أن يصعد لي فيها عملا صالح. Verily it is an hour when the gates of the heavens are opened. Thus I love that a righteous deed should ascend for me at that time. So this is another chain of narration mentioning virtually the same thing. So the Prophet said, there's an hour, he called it Asa'a, meaning that's the time, right? So you should try to cover that time with the Salat. And he goes, I love a righteous deed ascend at that time. In another report, in Bazar, in his Musnad, Kashf al-Astar, 1-337, Hafiz Dibiyati, in his Al-Majjar al-Rabi fi Thawab al-Amal al-Salih, number 329, Sayyidina Thawban radiyallahu anhu relates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like offering salah after midday. Thus Aisha radiyallahu anha asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I noticed that you love offering salat at this time. Why is that? He replied, the doors of the heavens are open at this time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at his creation with mercy. Indeed, it is thus such a salah which Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam were also particular about. So now he's added something. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He goes, Allah Ta'ala looks at his creation with mercy at that time. So what is it very similar to? Tahajjud. The time of Tahajjud. And then he explained the history of this salat goes back to the first man, Adam. Because he was particular about this prayer. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Jesus Christ, who's coming back, alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning it's not just for the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. There was, this time was universal. It was a blessed time. And similarly, in Ibn Majah, 1-365, in the chapter on Salah, Hafiz Dimyati, in his Al-Majjar Al-Rabih fi Thawab Al-Amal Al-Salih, number 231, Qabus relates from his father, my father sent a message to Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, asking her, which salah did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love the most to be offered constantly? She replied, he used to offer 4 rakats before Zuhr, standing in that salat for a long time and performing the bowing and prostrating postures beautifully. Meaning he had a great affection for this prayer. So now what's interesting, the hadith by themselves indicate the auspiciousness of that time. But it's so auspicious, it's mentioned in the Quran. Subhanallah, the creation as a whole offers their universal sujood at that time. Now think about that. The entire creation, fish and fowl, righteous and unrighteous, believers and unbelievers, everything prostrates at that time. In Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 49, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, وَلِلَّهِ يَسْجُدُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ دَابَّةِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prostrates all that is in the heavens and all that is on earth, of the moving creatures clinging to the earth, and the angels, alayhi salatu wa salam, and they are not proud, i.e. they do so with humility. So in this beautiful verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything prostrates to me in the heavens and on the earth, even the angels, and they are not proud. Everything. This verse, this commentary, in Tirmidhi, number 3139, is Gharib, Behaki and Ishu'ab al-Iman, Mishkat, number 1177. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the four rakats that are offered after the Zawal, i.e. the Zenith, and before the Zuhr prayer, are equivalent in virtue to the four rakats of Tahajjud Salat. Indeed, it is in this auspicious hour that everything glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon recited Surah Al-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 48, 49 and 50. And I've put here, which also mentions that their very shadows also prostrate to their living Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at this. So here the Prophet added, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these four rakats are like tahajjud. And what did the Prophet say about tahajjud? It's the most excellent, afdal prayer after the farad. So it's equivalent to tahajjud. Like I mentioned, the similarity is very interesting about this prayer. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything glorifies Allah Ta'ala. Now, the question goes to the mind. Believers, we understand. But for example, you know, just putting a person on the spot, what about the atheists? They don't glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says in these verses, their shadows prostrate. Meaning, they might not be uttering the praise, but their very shadows are prostrating to me. And what's interesting about Zawal, there's no shadow. But as soon as the zenith passes, the shadow comes. So look how symbolic that is. It means the shadow is now emerged to prostrate, despite the defiance of the one who's, you know, causing the shadow. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala mentions that in the Quran, in these beautiful verses. Confirming further, in Tabarani, in his Awsat, Al-Haytami, in Majma' al-Zawa'id 2-320-321, Hafiz Dimyati, in his Al-Majjar al-Rabi, fi Thawab al-Amal al-Salih, number 327, Sayyidina Al-Bara ibn Al-Azib radiyallahu alayhi wa sallam, beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, he who offers four rakats before Zuhr is then just as though he offered them at night as tahajjud salah. Similarly, he who offers them after the Isha salah is then just as though he offered them on Laylatul Qadr, i.e. the glorious night of authority and power. So something's added here. The Hajjat is like these four rakats before Zuhr. But the Prophet also added here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that four rakats after the Isha is like Laylatul Qadr. So what is that referring to? It's referring to the two rakat sunnah mu'akkid that you offer after the Farad Isha, and then you add a two rakat nafl. That two rakat nafl combined with the sunnah now is like you've prayed them on the night of Qadr. In one report, it mentions you should offer this before you leave the masjid. So if you're in a rush, make sure you offer it in the masjid. And those four rakats are converted to the night of Qadr. Think about that. And people don't even know about these two rakats nafl after Isha. Right? So note again, the Prophet mentioned this in Allah. So what else did he mention about these four rakats? In Tabarani, in his Kabir, Targheeb number 383, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, relates from his father, the beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, من صلى قبل الزحر أربعا كان قعدل رقبة من بني إسماعيل. He who prays four rakats before the Zuhr is then just like the one who sets free a slave from the descendant of Ismail. عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is very interesting. Freeing a slave is precious. But freeing a slave from the progeny of the prophets is priceless. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who prays these four rakats before Zuhr is like one who set free one slave from the descendant of Ismail, meaning one of the fathers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something else, right? And these four rakats, the Prophet goes, you are given this reward, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he summed it up. when he said, radiyallahu, there is nothing equal to the night salat of the day salat except the four rakats before Zuhr. Indeed, their superiority over the rest of the optional salats of the day is just like the superiority of the congregational salat over the salat which is offered individually. This is recorded by Hafiz Dimyati rahmatullah alayhi in his Al-Matjar Al-Rabi fi Thawab Al-Amr Al-Salih, number 331. So what did the great Ibn Masud say, radiyallahu? No optional prayer equals tahajjud, except the four rakats before Zuhr. But he added something. He goes, the superiority of these four rakats is like the superiority of congregational prayer over the salat individually. So now, all of this highlights the importance of these four rakats. So now, what is being referred to here? What's being referred to here is the mu'akkidah. Right? So look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He's not even really, if you've got any sense, giving you a choice. Sunnah mu'akkidah is the Prophet never missed it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sunnah ghair mu'akkidah, you have an option. The Prophet prayed it sometimes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes he didn't offer the prayer. He never missed his prayer. So it became mu'akkidah. So it's something we're doing regularly anyway. But how does shaitan get his foot in? How many people, out of laziness, don't offer those four rakats before Zuhr? They come late for the Zuhr, and then they pray the four rakats after. So yes, you've prayed it, but you've lost everything. Even though you prayed it. Have you understood? Why? Because the hadith after hadith after hadith says, before Zuhr, the auspicious time goes and the iqamah is pronounced. Now another thing which is important. There's different times for Zuhr in the same locality. So you could get whispers. You could think, okay, one masjid plays Zuhr at 12:30, this masjid, this time of the year. The masjid just down the road plays at 1:00. So when does this auspicious time finish? The hadith says when the Zuhr starts. So then you think, okay, I'm going to pray at the masjid which is at 1:00. But then whispers kicks in. You think, oh, but they've already prayed at 12:30, so that time is already gone. The answer is no. The hadith says where the prayer starts. So wherever you're praying, that's the gauge you use. So yes, according to here, this masjid, the time has elapsed. Because the Zuhr started at 12:30. But the masjid that you're attending is at 1:00. So your time still continues. Have you understood? So don't get easily on little things of shaitan putting these doubts into your heart and mind. So this is a very, very auspicious time to offer these prayers. So now let's summarize all this. I've given you the proofs. In summary, this is the reward for these auspicious four rakats. You can mention seven things. Number one, six holy prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, would offer these four rakats regularly, constantly. Who are the six that we know? Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are all the great ones. Right? Allah Ta'ala says, those with the greatest determination. Five of them are our beloved messenger, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa. Adam is also, so think, not only the six, the five of the greatest, and the father of mankind are mentioned. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Number two, it is the auspicious time of the universal sujood of all creation to our exalted Lord. Thus we also join in happily. So when you're offering that four rakats in particular, you should have extreme happiness because it makes you happy. You think even these filthy atheists are frustrating. Even those monkey worshippers are frustrating. Even though they're denying God, their shadows are frustrating. So when you're offering these four rakats, you joined in with the entire creation. Doesn't that make you happy? Number three, it is an auspicious time in which the heavenly doors of mercy are opened and our loving Lord looks at us with mercy. So if He's looking at you with mercy, what's the best thing to do? Offer salat, the greatest deed. Number four, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prolong and extend these four rakats to engulf more of this priceless divine mercy. Why? Because when you offer your salat, it's for that time period. You offered four rakats in 5 minutes, you got 5 minutes of it. Why didn't you make it six, seven? So extend it to get more of the divine mercy. Number five, The rewards of these four rakats before Zuhr are equal to four rakats of Tahajjud. Think about that. Number six. One also receives the reward for freeing a descendant of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam from slavery. What a protection from the fire. And number seven, the four rakats before Zuhr are more rewarding than 25, 27 times any other optional prayer during the day, according to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Subhanallah. Thus, what a loss to the one who is simply unaware of this enormous bounty from our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also how sad it is therefore to see that many are negligent in this regard. And one thus often sees that they offer these four rakats after the obligatory Zuhr prayer, oblivious to the loss they have accrued. To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. So now another important note. It is very important to point out that one does not have to wait for the azan of Zuhr to offer these four blessed rakats. But the entry time of Zuhr. For in some masjids, the azan for Zuhr is proclaimed sometimes even over half an hour after this entry time. Hence, as soon as the Zuhr time enters, one may then offer these four blessed rakats, prolonging them in line with the blessed sunnah. So look at all these fine points. You get some people, they wait for the azan. But the fajr, the Zuhr entered at 20 past 12. No, I'm waiting for azan at 12:45. Why have you lost 25 minutes of that special blessed time? For what? You understand? So as soon as the time enters, but the reason is not a big loss for us because we only need 10 minutes because our salah is that short. But the one who truly wants the full blessings, he wants it from the moment the Zuhr enters. Right? So no, try to get much of this blessing. And of course, we're going to the holy lunch. So obviously, right, we should strive to get this. And don't forget anything, any good deed that is done within Masjid al-Haram multiplies more than 100,000. Right? So what I've just mentioned, multiply that more than 100,000 for those four rakats. Think about that. Right? And people say, oh, it's hard. You know, it's this, that, and the other. You're thinking, well, brother, Allah Ta'ala is looking in mercy and you're saying it's hard. You know, look how sad that is. And this is the holiest of holies. You expect the masjid to be packed. Right? So note again, this is an auspicious thing I wanted to mention at length. Where did Abu Ayyub see this? In his dwelling. Imagine. And they've knocked it down. MashaAllah. And miracles have happened there. To abound the history. Going back thousands of years. 7 months the Prophet stayed in that blessed dwelling. He's offering these prayers, auspicious prayers. One of those things is enough to preserve it. And yet it's gone. Imagine. And that's why some of the ulama point out that to be precise with the sunnah, try to offer the sunnah prayers in the dwelling of Abu Ayyub. They actually said that when he was still there. But now you have to work out, where is that dwelling? And Alhamdulillah, one of the blessings, if you can put it that way, is that because there's no dwelling there now, people are oblivious. Right? You can actually go to that spot and pray those four rakats where the Prophet prayed. Imagine, nobody, people just walking past, thinking it's just part of the, you know, the marble exterior of the masjid. Right, but they can't be blamed. Why? Because, you know, they dismantled it, astaghfirullah. If Allah Ta'ala looks with mercy at the one who offers four rakats, then what's he going to do to the one who's offering it at the place where he's brought his mercy? Rahmatul lil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, so again, note, you know, amazing things if you reflect upon this. So all I mentioned today was basically another one report. And it was the report where, in the blessed dwelling of Abu Ayyub, the Prophet ﷺ was constantly offering these four rakats. Another important point, which is worth mentioning, there was two floors in Abu Ayyub's dwelling. So how was he aware that the Prophet ﷺ was offering these four rakats constantly? So initially, he was downstairs. So you could argue that Abu Ayyub came down and obviously saw the Prophet praying. But don't forget, the Prophet moved upstairs because of the insistence of Abu Ayyub. How did he still know that he's offering these four rakats? So the only way to respond to that is, this is the intimacy he had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew him so well. And don't forget, in the dwelling, you get to know more about a person. And Abu Ayyub graciously told us about these four rakats. He goes, he was constant. And he goes, I asked. And then he told him. The Prophet told him about these four rakats, as if to say, look, just like your house has history, this actually predates your house's history. Goes back to the time of Adam. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And look how tragic, if you ask a person, you know, the four rakat sunnah mu'akkidah before Zuhr, what are they worth to you? And the what, instead of asking what is it worth, they even ask this question, do I need to pray? You know, how many people have asked me that? He goes, if I miss it, am I sinful? Look how they've completely lost the plot. Why are you asking that question? If I miss it, if I just do my fard, I'm alright. Yeah, you are. But you're a big loser, right? Think about that. You know, why are you asking? That just shows that you don't understand. Everything the Holy Prophet does is blessed. So the fact that we've got all these sunnah prayers, you don't need text. Somebody goes, why did he do two rakats before Fajr? I don't know, brother. But there must have been an immense reason. I'm going to follow the Prophet. I'm not going to wait for you to work it out. Then Allah said, why did he do four rakats before Zuhr, two rakats after? Don't worry about it, brother. Just do it. Four rakats before Asr. What are you worried about? Just do it. Right? And you notice, you have to wait. And then you realize by waiting, you've lost out. You might have been waiting 20 years. Nobody bothered telling you 20 years ago about these virtues. Therefore, the humble advice is, get these sunnats in. Don't wait until you then start grieving over the loss. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal 'asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa 'amilus solihati, wa tawassaw bil haqqi, wa tawassaw bis sabr, wa tawassaw bil sadaqati.